So great to be with you tonight. I'm Harry Reeders, senior pastor here at Briarwood. And so let me give a welcome to all of you also as visitors here. We're glad to have you. We'll have some refreshments afterwards out on the lawn, and you'll have a time where you can go and obtain some of Guy Penrod's materials. I know it'll be a blessing to you and good time of fellowship out there. And then tonight, what I wanted to do is to give you just a little bit of a vignette that may be helpful as we celebrate God's good providences to this nation. So many ways that our God has been gracious. A great gospel awakening that gave birth to our nation from 1735 to 1765. Another great gospel awakening from 1785 to 1880 with multiple revivals that the Lord used to mature and maintain our freedoms. It's really amazing what He's done. But one of the things He's done is He's raised up men and women of significant character, rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are many of them that we could talk about tonight, but I've only got about 5 minutes with you, okay? And I'm going to talk about one that I could talk about all night, and that is our founding father, George Washington. He had an amazing relationship with the Lord. I know you've all read the history books that say he's a deist, and that is not accurate at all. And what's accurate is that he had a warm and evangelical relationship with Christ. But he was a man of self-control, a man of dignity, a man of reserve. And you have to kind of listen to him carefully in what he says and listen to him in the profundity of what he says. And there's no better way to listen to him. And I unabashedly will shill for this book. It's called Sacred Fire. You want to hear what Washington says about the sacred liberty, the sacred cause, and the sacred fire that God Himself has entrusted to us through the true religion of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that research has been extraordinarily well done by Dr. Peter Lilback, who's been here many times to preach, president of Westminster Seminary. And you would greatly enjoy the work that he's done. So I commend that to you. Let me just give you one little insight into it. It's what I call three notes from the founding father that God used to give you your country. George Washington, when he got drafted and by the Continental Congress and to serve as a commanding officer, had already served presiding over the First Continental Congress. And then he goes into and becomes actually, he was the second choice. Charles Lee was the first choice, but Benjamin Franklin, of all people, stood up the next day and said, "I don't feel comfortable with this. I think we need to pray about it and consider George Washington." Well, I'm glad that he did, because it is that choice that made quite a difference as they turned their attention to him, and he became the commanding general in the War of Independence. And as he became the commanding general, he was faced with many, many challenges, not the least of which was Valley Forge. The disease, the lack of resources, the sickness, the demoralization that was taking place. Philadelphia itself, which at that time was the functioning capital of the nation, had been captured by the British. And not far outside of Philadelphia was Valley Forge, and there they sat as he kept together these few thousand faithful. And then he got a letter from his pastor in Philadelphia. Now, he had another pastor back in Alexandria, but while he lived in Philadelphia, his pastor was Jacob Duché. He was the pastor of Christ Church there in Philadelphia. And this pastor, Jacob Duché, wrote him a letter. He quickly opened it and read it, and then his countenance fell. The letter was from Jacob Duché, who, once the British had captured Philadelphia. Now, by the way, this is the Jacob Duché who uttered the very first prayer for the very first Continental Congress. And he read the prayers from the Common Book of Prayer, and then extemporaneously in that meeting went into another prayer that everyone commented how robust and vital and personal and uplifting it was. And he went on with that prayer. That prayer is recorded for you in many places. That same Jacob Duché now writes a letter, and Washington's expecting another uplifting moment. But instead, here is a man who, when the British came in, decided to turn his pulpit back over to England. And then he, on behalf of England, at the direction of England, directed a letter to George Washington as his pastor, calling upon him to engage in no further useless sacrifice. The cause is lost. You should surrender there at Valley Forge. He closed it and he sent a reply back. If I had known what was in the letter and what it says to tempt me to abandon this sacred cause, I would never have opened it. And my heart sinks to think that you wrote it to me. And so with the appeal of Jacob Duché on behalf of England, he said no to surrender at Valley Forge. But that's not the only no that he said. There was another time when everything seemed to be faltering and the Congress was not doing its job and people were discouraged and there seemingly was no way that the colonies were uniting. And it was his young men who followed him. These are the young men who had served with him. These are the young men who had made comments such as, "You have no biological son, but you are our father and you are the father of our country." And they pleaded with him that he would become king. But Washington said no. Washington said no. And that would lead to a third no. And the third no was, after serving so effectively for two terms, they pleaded with him to maintain the office perpetually and even consider keeping it within his family line. And he said no. Here was a man that was tempted for fame, fortune, but yet could say no. Folks, there's a lot of things you and I need to say no to. But you'll never say no until you've got a bigger yes. You'll never say no till you have a bigger yes. And there are many yeses that Washington fled to. One is, I have a sacred cause I cannot surrender. Two, he believed strongly in that movement that this country would be different. It would have no king but its constitution. Lex Rex, the law is king. So he said no to being king. And he knew that with every leader, you not only get his strengths, but you get his weaknesses. We talk about term limits. He imposed term limits on himself and set the precedent for us. But it's not only that he had the right yeses, he had an even bigger yes. And that yes was the, I quote him, the piety and practice of our true religion in Jesus Christ. We hope and pray tonight you are encouraged by many things that you will hear sung and what you will be in, and what you will have the opportunity to participate in. But you need to know that while we are grateful for our country, what we are grateful for and give praise to God for is the King of Kings of all the nations who has blessed this nation. And he has blessed this nation with men and women who have said no to selfishness and yes to selflessness. And we'll honor them who have served in our military. There are those who have served faithfully in our as civil magistrates in our nation. And there are citizens who have said yes to Christ and in the name of King Jesus have said yes to being a citizen that honors Christ. That's the yes we want you to say. That's where it begins. Jesus, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, you died on the cross to set me free. Yes, I will live with the liberty of Christ. And yes, I will say no to anything and everything that would defame you. Now use me in my marriage, my family, my community, my church, your church, and my country, that Christ Jesus would be lifted up. And when I say yes to that, he will draw men and women to himself who will say yes to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you That while we have been blessed with many blessings, one of the significant ones we've been blessed with are men and women who have stepped into the breach, who have stepped up at the point, who have willingly taken the challenges and made the decisions that are only explained by wisdom from above. Not the world's wisdom that brings dissension, not the world's wisdom that brings destruction of others, but wisdom from above. And we thank you for that character that is forged and framed in the blessings of the gospel, so that in the circumstances of life, they do not dictate our responses. No, the circumstances of life reveal the opportunity for our responses. And that opportunity is to do the next right thing for the right reason, in the right way, for the glory of the God of glory and the glory of the God of grace, revealed in Christ. And the one whom we see and trust and praise because of the Spirit of God who has granted us eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.